You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have Quentin Henning with me. He is a member of the Crescat Capital team, and he is its technical advisor. Actually, Quentin is more than just a technical advisor because his out-of-the-box geological thought process is sometimes able to see potential mineral value where others have passed it up in the past. And as a visionary, he is often able to perceive an entire geological system that brings with it large-scale potential. And that's another thing that many in the past oftentimes don't understand, that he seems to be able to see these large systems. He has also realized that many exploration projects simply don't have the scale to make them economically worthwhile. And so his motto is go big or go home. But I think perhaps one of the characteristics that makes Quentin unique among his peers and very helpful to investors is his ability to boil down geological concepts and explain them so that people without much technical knowledge in geology can comprehend the investment thesis that he and Crescat Capital are investing in. So if you're wondering why Quentin Henning next to Michael Oliver is the most frequent guest on this program, I think I've just explained why. And I'm really happy to have him with me once again today to talk about three companies that have made significant gold discoveries, gold and silver discoveries, and there's a little tin mixed into one of them. The Quentin believes have a good chance of rewarding Crescat Capital and individual investors, perhaps on a scale comparable to what Great Bear shareholders have recently enjoyed with the discovery of the Dixie Project, a very large multi-million ounce gold deposit in Ontario. Of course, Great Bear was a sponsor of this show in the past, too, and I'm very proud to have brought that name to our listeners. Quentin, thank you so much for joining us again.
Always a pleasure, Jay.
You know, on December 10th, on the Crescat Gets Active video number 57, you talked about the success of one of our previous sponsors. I just talked about Great Bear Resources. And that was a stock I picked up in this newsletter at 46 cents. It just agreed to sell out to Kinross for $29 Canadian dollars per share, or approximately $22.70. That's a 48-fold increase, and it sounds like I'm bragging. I must say that for every one of those, there's probably a half a dozen that bit the dust, but of the early exploration companies anyway. But, you know, that's been a very good run, and but there's a lot of other ones out there, and I, you know, I'm following your work very closely, and it seems as though, as you pointed out on that Crescat Gets Active video number 57, that was in December 10th, that you named three different companies that you think have the kind of, well, they've had exploration success and they've made major discoveries. Certainly looks major, and of course, what's left is the hard work and the extensive drilling that's required to delineate exactly what they have. So I'd like you to talk to our listeners a little bit about those three to start with. SK Mining Corp is one of them, trades in Toronto. ESK is a symbol in the U.S. ESKYF, 162.5 million shares. I saw it at $2.22 earlier today. That's a $360 million market cap. It's a sponsor of this show, and it's exploring a VMS system that is part of the same system that hosts the Great SK Creek Mine in British Columbia. So talk to us about why you see this as a potential big deal.
Yeah, look, I think where I'll start is to kind of wind back a minute where you started is talking about Great Bear. If you look at Great Bear, absolute fantastic example, you know, textbook example of success. Initial discovery holes made, I believe, in the third quarter of 2017 or somewhere in that time range. And here we are 4 years later, and after drilling, I believe, several hundred thousand meters and having just, you know, very systematic, steady news flow for months and months and months now, they've reached agreement to sell the company for a whopping $29 a share. That's a fantastic result. But it also tells you about the time frame needed, you know, for some of these discoveries to go through that process to a sale. Now, obviously, part of that is around the market itself. You know, where's the M&A cycle? I think we're starting to see that pick up right now. Mm-hmm. You know, in the case of SK, it's really just been over the past year and a bit maybe, that the company's demonstrated very sound success around drilling two targets, TV and Jeff, which are really just two of a number of targets that they've identified recently across the SK consolidated property. The property sits right next to the old SK Creek mine that's now being developed by Skeena as an open pit. Skeena has on the order of, I believe, a 5 or 6 million ounce gold equivalent resource, something like that. And a pretty good grade. It's, you know, it's about 4 gram, I think, somewhere in that neighborhood, 4 to 4.5 gram gold equivalency. What we're seeing on the SK ground, very similar mineralization. Now, some of the things I would point out, we have a huge land position, about 526 square kilometers. TV and Jeff, while they're first and foremost for, you know, current drilling and exploration efforts, you know, anybody that's followed this story can see that we have a number of exciting targets that we've identified, both through SkyTim, through the leg sampling and so forth. And we even drill tested some of those late in the season this year. So I think over the next few months, you'll see the remaining 60-odd holes come out. I think there'll be some very good news in there. And you'll see that we have geology and deposits very similar to those that Skeena has across the fence line.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's a lot of drill holes coming back, a lot of news to keep our eyes on for SK Mining. The next one you named is El Oro Resources, and this is the 62.1 million shares out. I saw earlier today at $3.16, $196 million U.S. market cap. It's involved in exploring and developing a gigantic silver tin-rich polymetallic deposit in Bolivia. So why do you see El Oro? Why do you see El Oro having the same kind of, or this substantial upside potential?
Certainly. Look, again, it's a district scale play. If you look, it's a very sizable porphyry-ting silver complex. It's very similar to the Potosí district, which is nearby, as well as some of the other mines in this region, such as Minera San Cristobal and so forth. So there's immediate examples of world-class deposits in our neighborhood of the same nature. And what's remarkable is the company spudded their first hole, I believe, around September of 2020. So, in fact, I think SK even spudded their first holes around that same time. So here we are just barely a year into this thing, and it's clear that this system, this tin-silver polymetallic system, it's got lead, zinc, and now it appears copper and gold might be significant in part of the system. It's huge. It's basically the limits have not been defined yet. Bill Pearson and Osvaldo Arce are drilling in the Santa Barbara area up in the northwest, targeting an initial resource, but it's really only a small subset of the overall system. And again, every time they drill a hole, they can't seem to find the edge of the system. It just gets bigger and bigger. So a story that will evolve over the next year or two as they drill more and more, but it's clearly just, you know, testing an enormous system. I think the resource target area is about 1,400 meters long, 600 meters wide, say 600 meters deep. You know, that's a huge volume of rock. So expect very, very good news as they move toward the resource, but also as they test the bigger part of the system. There's lots more to come.
Yeah, there's several of these breccia pipes, sizable breccia pipes that host this mineralization, and all along this caldera, it's just really immense. As you say, it's just a very minor portion of the total target. All right, so the third one that you mentioned is Newfound Gold, trades in Toronto, NFG is the symbol, NFGC in the U.S., 164.2 million shares, $6.94. You know, that's a little bigger, Quentin. We're already looking at a market cap of over $1 billion, $1.14 billion. That's almost that's quite a bit larger than the other two that we just talked about. Newfound is developing what is growing into a very high grade, large scale epizonal orogenic deposit in Newfoundland, very much like the Fosterville mine that you were played a role in discovering over for Kirkland Lake. But this is, you know, from the world that I live in, Quentin, a $1.14 billion market cap sounds pretty hefty already, but you still see a lot of upside from here, I guess, given the scale of this thing. Is that it?
Absolutely. Look, you know, to be frank, there are only 120,000 meters of drilling into this. They have assays now for maybe, 70,000 or 80,000 meters of that.
Uh-huh.
They have lots and lots of assays in queue right now. Their plan is to drill 400,000 meters. Now, when you hear, you know, a drill program of that size, you got to question, okay, why? Well, it's because this is an enormous high-grade gold system. If you look, the drilling around the Keats Zone keeps extending mineralization down plunge. Now they're finding mineralization similar high-grade above and below the Keats Zone and new, mm-hmm. for potentially new zones, parallel zones. And then they're also finding new bodies of mineralization, like at the Golden Joint area and Lotto. And, you know, I think there's also drills. They got something like 14 drills turning at present. So I think they're also starting to see mineralization in new areas. So it's one to keep your eye on. When you compare it to Fosterville, I would say geologically it's very, very similar. But in my view, this will end up being considerably larger just given the footprint that we've already defined through the drilling and where it's heading. I would say this is going to be significantly more scope than the Fosterville deposit.
Quentin, is there a danger that this thing could go too cheaply? Could one of the big mining predators come along and snatch it away from shareholders?
It is one of those stories. Like I mean, in the gold space, it's seldom do you find a deposit like this that basically is a company maker. Mm-hmm. And so these are the, you know, we'll call it the crown jewels, the most highly sought after type of assets. It is possible that somebody could get aggressive, certainly. I think it'll take a little while, though. I think maybe watching the company drill a few hundred thousand more meters. You know, I think just like Great Bear, I don't know how many meters they had drilled by the end of the day there, but I think once there grows a certain level of comfort with the deposit and its mm-hmm. size and potential grade and so forth, I think that's when you usually see the major step in.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, of course, those people who were fortunate enough to buy these shares earlier on, SK and El Oro and Newfound, my subscribers have been fortunate to pick them up at lower prices. The biggest percentage returns, of course, are when you can get in early on before the discoveries are made, when there's some good chances, and when you see some early indications that you could have a large system and you hit some nice, big, juicy drill holes. Those stocks can take off and really reward early investors that take that high risk early on. And I want to ask you about a couple of those, time permitting, as many as possible here. But I have to ask you about Novo Resources, a company that you were involved with and still are as a non-executive co-chairman. Novo, of course, it really shot up to $7, I think, in U.S. money 2017 on the discovery of a field of nuggets that were hosted in conglomerate rock in northwestern Australia. But it's you know, the share price is down around a dollar, a little more. It's up a little, $1.17 today. As the company is going into production, it's never easy for exploration companies to go into production. But give us a little bit of insights what's going on with Novo. My thought is I believe in this company and the possibilities longer term that people that recognize the value now might be richly rewarded going forward. But maybe you can give us a little of an update on Novo and what's transpiring there, what the big picture is.
Sure. Look, 2021 is a big year for the company. We basically moved from being an explorer to a producer. Poured our first gold in mid-February. This end of this year, we are in full production. The tonnage is about 1.8 million ton per year going through the mill at the moment, and they're operating at steady state. I think we've turned the corner on just about every front. We're seeing the grades improve. We're seeing the grade control issues diminish and improve overall. But we're also starting to see expiration results come in, and our mechanical sorting tests were come in. So we're right now, I think we're ending the year on a very positive note, and I think 2022 is going to be exceptionally good for the company. I think you'll see a number of exploration discoveries that will show people that we have a long future in the Nulligan Gold Camp, but also the ability, because of the mechanical sorting test work, to start pulling in some of these other projects, you know, namely Karatha. I think the mechanical sorting test work will prove successful and demonstrate we can make a viable concentrate that can be shipped over from Karatha down to Nulligan and process for gold. So we're excited about what we're doing. It is a tough go making the transition, but I think we've successfully managed it, and I feel very optimistic about the coming year.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to those mechanical sorting data that comes out pretty soon. That's a very important aspect of this story, I think. Well, turning to some of the penny stock plays that I think, you know, have the chance to really become 10, 20, 30, 40 baggers sometime in the future. One of those companies, Firefox Gold, it's a sponsor to this show, 103.4 million shares, 23 cents a share, $24 million market cap. Talk to us about Firefox. They're exploring Greenstone Belt, of a very underexplored Greenstone Belt in Finland.
Yep, they're in the central Lapland, and they're in the same neighborhood as Orion and the Rupert discovery there, Ikari deposit. So you have, you know, multi-million ounce gold deposits in this neighborhood. In fact, Agnico is operating Kittila just to the northwest. Firefox is one of the biggest landholders in this district, and they've done great science. They've done great, you know, base till sampling and so forth, identified really nice early stage drill targets. And earlier this year, I think it was May, they announced some high grade results and then went back in, just drilled around there, and then they came up with a very long intercept, I think about 17 meters of, I think it was around 7 or 8 grams back in September. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the company been doing? Well, they've been drilling a lot. Okay, they put out an update sometime in the past, I think, you know, call it four to six weeks, that most people probably went, interesting. But I would say watch this space. I think they're on to a major discovery of, you know, the Rupert style, we'll call it. You know, now Orion's got their own discovery with B2 in the same neighborhood, and I think you're going to see this place absolutely explode. So I'm very optimistic about Firefox and where they're headed.
Labrador Gold Corp, they're right next door to Newfound. Talk to us about that. It's a market cap of $100 million.
Certainly. Look, Lab is really an extension of the same story as Newfound Gold. They're immediately to the north on the Appleton Fault, and they have the same style of gold mineralization, very high-grade, epizonal, you know, free gold style of mineralization. They drilled quite a few holes in a structural area to the immediate west of the Appleton Fault earlier in the year. And more recently, they've been testing areas on the east. Now, most people take the view the bigger structures, the bigger hosts, are on the east side. Haven't seen any news out of the company here recently, but I know they got started kind of later in the year. And it has been, you know, it's the wet time of year, wet and cold and mucky. But I think that's a story everybody should just sit patiently, because my hunch is they will deliver high-grade results, very much like what are seen immediately to the south at Lotto and, you know, Golden Joint and Keats. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah, and with a market cap of less than a tenth, one-tenth of that of Newfound, so it might be one investors might want to pay attention to. With 30 seconds, maybe 60 seconds left, Hannon Metals, I'm going to talk to Michael Hudson next week, but that's a very unique sedimentary-hosted copper-silver deposit. 30 seconds.
Most people don't realize, but there are different types of copper deposits other than porphyries, and sedimentary-hosted copper deposits are the world's biggest. In Peru, there happens to be a brand new discovery made by Hannon on the east side of the Andes. Now, it's been a slog with COVID and you know, restrictions around travel and stuff, but they have done some exceptional work here lately that demonstrates they have a basin-wide copper system. It's a sheet-like shale-hosted copper system that looks like it could be one of these world-class copper-silver deposits, you know, Cooper-Schiefer type occurrence. If so, watch this space. I think the company has a very exciting discovery in hand.
Yeah, indeed. And it's, you know, it's a market cap of $16 million. All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it go at that. I mean, there's a Lion One Metals, another exciting story. We'll be talking about that. You'll be updating us on that. Cassiar Gold Corp, another one I know you like a lot. It's one of my favorites. So many good stories heading into 2022. Should be a very exciting year. Thank you so much, Quentin, for being with us once again.
Always a pleasure.
Well, folks, that is it for this week. Next week, Alistair MacLeod will be with me to share his views for gold and silver in 2022. Also joining me will be Michael Hudson, as I just said, of Hannon Metals, and Michael Oliver will be with me as well. Let me take this opportunity to wish you all a happy, healthy, and prosperous 2022. Until next week, goodbye, and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Labrador Gold is an exploration company focused on its flagship Kingsway project, located in Central Newfoundland Gold District. Labrador Gold's first phase drilling program has successfully identified high-grade gold mineralization, including a 3.6-meter intercept, grading 20.6 grams per ton gold, and 1.85 meters, grading 50.38 gram per ton gold. The company has approximately $35 million in the treasury and is led by a world-class team of CEO Roger Moss and technical advisors Sean Ryan and Quentin Henney.